Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you this Memorial Day from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls throughout across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us this evening Bill Sardi, who's certainly a good friend of Radio Liberty, helps and supports us. But he also really brings so many fascinating facts and subjects to our listening audience. And we just wanted to preface the remarks Bill's going to make this evening by recounting an experience I had not too long ago when I attended a meeting with an official from the Federal Agriculture Administration, he was talking about mad cow disease and the fact that it really wasn't a problem. And I asked the question, well, if it's not a problem in the United States, we know it has been a problem in Great Britain. They slaughtered almost a third of their cattle over there. But if it's not a problem in the United States, why are you objecting to the fact that one meat producer who ships large amounts of beef to Japan, and they insist that every cow be tested for mad cow disease. They do that in Japan. Anybody's going to send in beef into their country, why they want those cows tested, every cow tested. So this one meat producer wanted to test every cow so they could ship to Japan, and the federal government refused to allow him to ship, to do the testing so that he could export his cows. And I said to the man from the government, what's wrong with testing every cow? Oh, he said, we might get a false positive, and that would certainly create a tremendous fear. So because they're afraid of getting a false positive, they're not going to test the cows, going overseas to ensure that there is no evidence of mad cow disease in our herds. Is it possible that they know something that they don't want the American people to know? Well, as we begin getting into this incredible story tonight, you're going to find this same attitude really expressed over and over again. Oh, we don't want to find out what's going on. If we did, and it turned out there was a problem, the American people wouldn't buy our products. And if we tested for it, they think there might be a problem. So we just won't bother to find out if there's a problem or not, because after all, no matter what happened, whether we tested or not, it would be bad for the industry. And with that as a background, Bill, why don't you share this incredible story that you put together here on what's happening and the real danger of paratuberculosis?
Well, it certainly is an unwelcome story. It's a story that I did not like writing, and it was very unsettling both to write and to read. And I will read from my column today at my website at knowledgeofhealth.com or askbillsardi.com, goes by the same web address, and we have a four-part series on this entitled Unclean Food. And for your audience, it's a little, bite your tongue a little bit as you clench your teeth and read this terrible story of a bacterium that has gotten loose in the world and has probably infected every human to the demise of so many. And as I'll read, this is a four-part story. It starts with a story about milk. It moves on into a story about brain disease from unclean food. It goes on into the third part of what the bacterium is that's causing all this, and then maybe some ways out of this to protect ourselves at home. But you may very well be infected with a stealth bacterium that initially produces no symptoms, cannot be detected by conventional testing, may produce illness in different organs of the body years or decades after your first infection.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest Bill Sardi. Bill, go ahead and pick up the story there.
As I'm saying, this bacterium that we're talking about, which we believe has silently and stealthily infected every human on the planet, very likely. It may very well, you and your loved ones, be infected with a stealth bacterium that produces no symptoms, cannot be detected by conventional testing, may produce illness in different organs of the body, and thus be perceived as different diseases. And those will only emanate years or even decades after you were first infected, and thus elude identification as a master underlying cause of disease. What are we talking about? We're talking about paratuberculosis. And though it's widely documented, it goes ignored. This family of bacterium, which includes tuberculosis itself and paratuberculosis, which is primarily coming from cattle herds, has killed over 1 billion people in the last century. Yet one-third of humanity has tuberculosis, the pulmonary lung tuberculosis as we know it. That's 2 billion people on the planet. But how many of the rest of us have this stealth bacterium, its little cousin, paratuberculosis? Maybe all of us. And as we go on into the story, we'll be telling you how this was involved in the flu pandemic of 1918. Yes, this is a bacterium. The flu pandemic was a virus. But apparently the two combined with deadly consequences in 1918.
Now, I think it's so important that people understand we're talking about two separate organisms. One's the tuberculosis, the traditional tuberculosis, and then the other is the paratuberculosis, which is a kissing cousin. It's part of the same group of diseases, but of course it's much less apparent. But it grows very, very slowly, very indolent, although it can produce a number of very serious diseases. You know, if the immune system begins to break down and you lose your resistance, and this is the big problem, if your body is properly attuned, why, it can take care of this. But if it's not properly attuned and the paratuberculosis begins to take over, why, then, of course, it really will create terrible disability.
Well, the canaries in the mine have been the people with Crohn's disease. There's only 500,000 of them in the United States out of a population of over 280 million. And so most of us don't get worried about this, but they're telling us something. And that is that they have Crohn's disease, and the Paratuberculosis Association, which is headquartered in Florida, trying to tell us now for the last 4 or 5 years that this is a terrible health problem. And of all things, it's coming to us via the most innocent...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bill Sardi, and he's talking about a paratuberculosis infection. Now, we have to separate that from tuberculosis infection, but they are still both diseases that we get when our immune system is compromised. And Bill was saying that the Crohn's Disease Association, and there is an association of people who have Crohn's disease, and they've been talking for some time trying to convince the people that there is a real problem, that there is a causal relationship between Crohn's disease and this paratuberculosis infection. But of course nobody wants to hear about that. Think of the implications if people began associating Crohn's disease with drinking milk and eating meat products or animal products. So you pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, certainly it's in our meat, it's in our milk, it's in our cheese, and by the way, we even make cheese from unpasteurized milk. But the organism we're talking about, Crohn's disease, is a nasty inflammatory disease of the ileum, the inner workings of our digestive tract. This paratuberculosis has infected 40% of the dairy herds in the United States. And then it is impossible to stop at this point because there's such infection. It transfers and sheds the paratuberculosis too in the milk of the dairy cow. It's then pasteurized, but it resists pasteurization. It becomes a spore and puts a little protective coating around itself as the heat rises. Pasteurization is only 161 degrees for 12 seconds. It's able to withstand that. It's able to withstand attack by most antibiotics. It is undetected by your immune system and starts growing very slowly. It takes 1 year. If you had some milk contaminated with this, it'll take 1 year for you to grow the milk, culture the milk, to grow enough of the bacteria to detect it. It is such a small bacterium, it's called a mycobacterium, that it looks like a virus, and in fact it's confused and appears like a virus in many ways. It's confused bacteriologists for years. Where does it go when it comes into your body? Of all things, it goes into your immune system. It goes into a little cell in your digestive system, immune system, called the macrophage, which literally digests other bacteria, viruses, tumor cells, and so on. It resides in that cell. And then when that cell is dispatched to alert the immune system to some place you have trouble, it drags this terrible enemy, this terrible bacterium, along with it. And this is maybe what we think is the cause of most autoimmune disease, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, even sarcoidosis, and so on. But our Crohn's patients certainly know about this, and now in the Journal of Food Protection just this month, they're showing that 3% of the milk cartons on the store shelves tested in California, Minnesota, and Wisconsin were contaminated with paratuberculosis. Now, way back many years ago, they used to say on milk cartons, tested for tuberculosis, because it is in the ground, the dairy herds pick it up. What happened was is that we, over the last 80 years, we've begun to grain feed our animals instead of grass feed them. Their digestive tract has become more alkaline instead of acid. Instead of killing off the bacterium, it harbors it and then transfers it to us. It's withstanding the pasteurization process. The U.S. Department of Agriculture refuses outright to test samples of milk in retail stores. We're being subjected to paratuberculosis. If this is not shocking to you, I will make it shocking in one moment. So why would our audience, Dr. Stan, even care? After all, out of 280 million people, only 500,000 are infected with Crohn's disease. It's a terrible disease. You probably, if you have it, you probably got it when you were a baby drinking all the milk. And then this bug only multiplies once every 12 to 24 hours. Years later, you end up with Crohn's disease, and you, in your 20s and 30s is the common age of onset. And you probably got it when you were a baby. But now we have, of course, one of the worst reports that could possibly cross my desk is now in this past month in the Journal of Neurology. They've linked milk drinking among middle-aged males in a study that ran for 30 years. Milk drinking has been linked with Parkinson's disease. Now, this likely means that this paratuberculosis bug, which can get in every organ of your body, has gotten into the brain and is slowly, over the years, just like we're saying, causing Parkinson's disease. It's not mad cow per se. That's a little different form of brain disease, spongiform encephalopathy. But this is, in a sense, in the mad cow arena. Now, if I tell you all that drinking milk could make you get Parkinson's and brain disease, do you still want to swallow that milk? I suggest, and you go to my website, knowledgeofhealth.com, or askbillsardi.com, and look at today's report, and you'll see all the milk-drinking countries have the high rates of Crohn's disease, and this is probably irritable bowel, too. We're just trying to shorten our report tonight and on the Internet. But what's happening here is the milk industry knows about this. They know all about it. In 2001, they petitioned Congress to clean up the herds and wanted $1 billion to do it. The problem is we can't use antibiotics. We create a drug-resistant form of paratuberculosis, and it would wipe out most of humanity. We can't kill off all the herds. We wouldn't have any milk. There's over $30 billion of milk produced in the United States in a year. Imagine the consequences economically. Hundreds of thousands of people would be out of work. Panic would ensue. Babies would be trying to find milk. I mean, this is no type of report. No one wins here. There is no way out of this. It's a giant mess, and now we think it's related, of course, as I said earlier, to rheumatoid arthritis, sarcoidosis, lupus, and many other autoimmune diseases.
But how is it related to rheumatoid? Does it trigger off an immune response?
Yes, because the bacterium has gone to reside in our immune system cells, the macrophages. Then when there is inflammation somewhere, it's dragging this this bacterium with it, and that is the autoimmune reaction. As our immune system, it seems like, you know, we call it the autoimmune disease the body against itself. Well, now we believe that's what it is. It's a bacterium causing this all along. And in fact, if you take and give the same nutrients to quell tuberculosis, which happen to be vitamin C, selenium, vitamin D, and so on, you will quell all the autoimmune diseases, including rheumatoid, as well. So it matches along. And we're now seeing some reports of cases where rheumatoid arthritis, just treated with antibiotics, starts to respond. The problem is most doctors are not alerted to this problem yet, and they're using the wrong antibiotics. And if you go to the doctor, he's likely to use the wrong antibiotics. Understand what we're talking about. We're talking about a change over 80 years of the way we feed our cattle. You can go to a website, go to my report online. You'll see it at eatwild.com, eatwild.com, and you'll find places where they do grow the cattle, raise the cattle on grass, which is the way the Bible prescribed it. God said to feed the cattle the grass on the hill, and therefore they're protected. And you'll see the tremendous differences in E. coli, Salmonella, Campylobacter, and now paratuberculosis. It's loaded in these animals. Japan refuses to accept back our meat, our cattle meat, into their marketplace. That's $1.3 billion of business a year, because they know that we're not being forthcoming, that our cattle really are. They do have mad cow, and they are infected with this paratuberculosis. And so what's going to happen here is that if we face up to this thing, there's no easy way out of this. It'll destroy the cattle industry, destroy the dairy industry. And right now, silently, they're looking the other way as thousands and thousands of cattle.
Thank you. 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 I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you. Bye-bye.